They only want me to come because I throw candy and I preach short.
Amen.
And that's what you like about it. All right, let's pray. Father, tonight I love you. I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the young people. Lord, it's been fun to watch the games and watch the tremendous talent. Lord, I had a good time. I thank you for them, for the good sportsmanship. Now, Lord, give us your attention for a little bit. Help us give you our attention for a little bit tonight. And take this very, very serious thought. Move in our hearts. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. I just couldn't be any more excited. In Luke chapter 13, please. Luke 13. It's always a great day when Brother Bragg calls me. I know why he's calling me. It's because I get to come and do chapel for the young people, and I have a blast doing it. And it is always a lot of fun. In this chapel, interesting thing happens. And it's a parable. And it's a weird parable in a sense. If you look at it real quickly, look at verse number 6 of chapter 13. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard. Now, let me ask a question. If you have a vineyard, and a very successful vineyard, why would you put a fig tree in the middle of your vineyard? It just doesn't seem right. You put grapes over here, and you put your fig tree over here, and never the twain shall meet. It just doesn't seem to make sense. But he put his fig tree right in the middle of his. Now, it could be because that's the only land he owned, and he was tired of grapes, wanted figs. That's my thought. And he thought if he put his fig tree in the only land he had, and he could have figs and grapes both. So he puts the fig tree right in the middle. But a little thought here. It's kind of what God did, isn't it? He takes us this fig tree stuck out like a sore thumb. Did God not put his children in a world completely different than they are? Did God not plant us and put breath into our nostrils and give us our life in a place where we're supposed to look different than the world? Is it hard sometimes to look different? But that's the process. You know, also we're supposed to act different. Now, that fig tree was supposed to produce what? Figs. And the vines, the vineyard, produced what? Grapes. So they had both this going on. And so that was a bit, they're different. We don't produce the same things that the world produces because we're different. Then another thought is it. We're supposed to be continually changing the world around us as we, that fig tree should have taken up more and more and more room as it grew and pushing the world far and far and farther away from it. And so that was the process. So we have this guy, he's got his fig tree in the middle of his vineyard, and he comes the first year and he's looking for figs. That's why he planted it. Interesting thought. When God gave you life, when God gave you breath, God's purpose was to invest something in you that he could get a return for himself. It's called being a profitable servant. A lot of us are unprofitable servants, but he wanted a tree that would give him, say it again, figs. So he goes out there, first year he's all excited, he goes to all the grapevines, he'd get grapes, everything's there. He goes to the fig tree, and there is nothing on the vine, nothing on the tree, not a fig one. He says, well, it's young, it's new. I just planted it this last year. Let me give it another year. Then I'll get some figs. Watch what happens. Look at verse 6. And he said in the parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. So it goes back to second year. We'll see that in a second. And guess what he found? Nothing but grapes. Goes back to third year. Guess what he finds? Again, no figs. So he gets upset. Then he said, verse 7, to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? He said, it's taking up space. I could at least get grapes out of this land. I'm getting nothing for my investment. I'm putting in, I'm getting nothing out. Cut the tree down. Let's forget this whole fig tree idea. Now, in my mind may be wrong, which is not unusual, but I see the owner as the Heavenly Father. And I see the vine dresser more as the Lord Jesus Christ. So watch what happens. And he answered, this is the vine dresser, verse 8. And he answered unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. He said, now listen, let's have one more chance. One more year. I'm going to take that fig tree and I'm going to dig all around it. You know, sometimes God brings things into our lives that are difficult, that are hard, that are painful, that can be sometimes almost life. You feel like you're just not going to live through it. A tragedy, a loss, a death. Of your parents, problems in your home, problems with a sibling. Maybe it's just a disaster, a house being burned or a car accident. Somebody gets a crazy disease, and we see these things happen in our lives. Now, what that does, that gets our attention. So the vine dresser was going to pull all the dirt around it. He's going to dig around it. Then he's going to fill all that empty spot now with dung. You think to yourself, don't think so. But see, the purpose of that, that's a fertilizer, but it's also something very also uncomfortable in our life. God pulls out the things that make us comfortable and gives us some things in our life to make us uncomfortable. And the purpose is he's trying to press the tree to produce. Sometimes our lives are hard. Sometimes things in our life are difficult. Sometimes we go through a problem that we don't know if we're going to solve or a heartbreak or whatever it is. But you find out that it is that trial that pushes you to produce fruit, pushes you to be faithful, pushes you to read your Bible more, pushes you to be more faithful of a Christian. For 3 years, this guy's come out there looking for figs, and rightly so. He bought the tree, he planted the tree, he put in the tree, he watered the tree, he paid for the tree, and he should get what, class? Figs. What's he getting? Nothing. Now, I wonder, God looks at us and he says, huh, I planted you, I gave you life, I put you in the world, I put you in a place, I gave you a family, I gave you a mom and dad, gave you all your needs. And what's God want? He wants fruit. You know what the fruit of the righteous is? Fruit of the righteous is the works of the flesh are manifest. We see those in a minute what they are. But the works of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. What's long suffering? Somebody tell me. What's long suffering? Who knows? Long suffering. Patience. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Temperance, which is self-control, by the way. Now, all these things God wants from us. Now imagine, you're that fig tree in the middle of the vineyard. The vineyard is producing fruit as well. But the vineyard, which is the world around us, they're producing fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And such like. These are the things that the world is producing around us. So our job is to produce something different in the midst of them. Not easy. The vine dresser goes to work. The vine dresser begins to, he wants to save this tree. Look yourself in the mirror sometime and think, you know, Jesus loves me. You know how much he loves you? He doesn't want God to be done with you. He doesn't want the Father to be finished. He sees potential. He sees value. He says, it would be great to have a fig tree in the middle of this vineyard. It'd be great to get figs every year. It'd be great to have something different here. And so the vine dresser says, listen, I see hope. I see value. Now, we live in a world where it seems like everybody tells us that the teenagers, young people, have no value. I'm here to tell you that you are the hope of our future. I was telling preacher a little while ago, I had a young assistant pastor was with me for 12 years, very, very great young man. And when he left, he took a church pastor, he's pastoring today, but he left me with about 6 or 8 tremendously solid young married couples who had been his teenagers in his youth department. Are they valuable? You better know it. These teenagers They're now bus workers. They're now soul winners. They're now junior church workers. They're now having more children. They're having their children. Our church is growing exponentially in that direction. We see people that are faithful. We see people that are busy. We see people that are working. Don't tell me teenagers have no value. The problem is we've got to squeeze the product to get the process so that we can have that fruit to come out. And it doesn't come easy. The vine dresser began to dig. He wanted the tree to succeed. You know, don't ever get the idea that God doesn't want you to succeed. Don't ever get the idea that God doesn't want you to do well. He took away its comfort. He took all the comfort away from the roots. He pulls the dirt all back. And he makes it, he bears it to the world, and he bears it to all the elements. Then he takes cow dung, more than likely, and he begins to put this nasty stuff all around it, and he makes it more uncomfortable. But now this is a fertilizer. This is going to produce figs. Ever think about when you eat figs that came from dung? Just a thought. Not a good one, but just a thought. Kind of come to my mind. But he's working on it. And he's trying to make this thing produce. Ever have a bad day? Ever have a bad week? Ever go through a couple of bad months in a row? Ever feel like your whole life, my life is just terrible? I'm unhappy. I'm angry. I'm bitter. By the way, if you're angry, quit listening to angry music. That'll help. I'm bitter. I'm unhappy. My life isn't like I want it to be, because you're producing the wrong fruit. And God's pushing and pressing. And maybe squeezing is a better word, to get good fruit. We're not told what happened at the fourth year. Fourth year, we don't know what happened with the vine dresser. We don't know what happened with the fig. We don't know what happened with the master. One of a couple things, though, had to have happened. First of all, that master came back the year later. Now here it is once more. It's harvest season. He goes to the tree and he walks up and he's hoping to see fruit. And he's so excited, he sees there are figs on my tree. And he gets excited. I put a little apple tree in my backyard a couple years ago. I'm hoping to attract deer mostly, but it's a little Kinder Crisp tree. And the first year, and it's out in my back porch. I like to sit out there in the summertime, and I read my Bible, have my devotion in my backyard, and the tree's right where I look at it. And I watched it the first year. I got 3 or 4 little flowers on it, and I got 3 or 4 little buds, and then I got nothing. And the second year, I got a couple apples, preacher. It was kind of cool. Then the third year, on that tree, I counted about 18 to 20 apples. Now, they're little. They were really good tasting, though. The bugs ate them all, and the birds, but... This year, flowers everywhere. I couldn't count them. There were dozens and dozens of these little bitty apples on that tree that tasted wonderful. I watched each year it get a little better. I got to tell the story. My wife has some garden stuff outside as well. And in the backyard, she has it doesn't have any feet, but like a bathtub with feet on it, one of those little, middle of the backyard for no reason, so I can mow around it mostly. And it gives me something to do in the summer. I can mow around the bathtub. But in the tub, she has it full of dirt, and she has some vegetables. She has some, what'd you have in there, baby? You had some flowers? Yeah, no, you had a cucumber. Okay, now, I got a video, I have a camera back, I have a video of a deer with his head in the bathtub, eating her cucumbers. Oh, it's hysterical. And she wasn't laughing. But now, a couple of days later, I noticed that they'd been in my apple tree. Well, you know, I don't have a lot of money, so you use what you got. Well, you know, I burn with wood, so my neighbor had just dropped all this firewood off. So I took these big old logs and put them circling around my tree. Then every other tree, I took a lawn chair, put it between all the logs. Then between the log chair, then I took little bars of fence steel, put it around there, and I said, got it. My wife said, what did you do out there? I said, it's my fence. Keep the deer out. She said, you didn't put a fence up for my cauliflower, for my cucumber. And I said, I know. But I didn't want what happened to you to happen to me, so I stepped in. She called it my hillbilly fence. Is that what you called it? Her grandfather was a famous hillbilly. But I wanted to keep them out. And it was successful. But I'm waiting next year. There'll be more apple. The tree gets bigger every year. The branches get stronger every year. The first year, they fell with the fruit. You know, if you would produce the kind of fruit God wanted you to, do you have an idea how happy you'd make God? He takes a look at you and says, wow, look at the integrity. Look at the honesty. Look at the love. Look at the joy. Look at the faithfulness. Look at the consistency. Look at the hard work. Look at they're working to stay away from sin. They're working to pass out gospel tracts. They're working the bus route. But also going to happen is that when the vine dresser got there, when the master got there, the vine dresser worked all that year. No fruit. He wasn't happy. He wasn't giddy. He wasn't laughing. He said, cut it down. And he took the saw and he cut that fig tree down to the roots, removing it from the vineyard. Now, what exactly that means, you could have a lot of questions and a lot of wonders, but you don't want God to be done with you. You don't want God to be finished. So I got to thinking, three little things, and I'll be done tonight. Maybe this is your year. You know, these are the oldest you're ever going to be at this point. Oldest you've ever been. I'm old, I forget how I'm supposed to talk. You're as old as you've ever been, and so am I. I'll never be this young again. You're at a place where God can do something with you. You're in a perfect place. He says, now listen, maybe this is your year. Maybe you say, well, maybe it's my year, but I'm gonna win that ball game. I'm gonna make that pass. I'm gonna hit that volleyball. My granddaughter, youngest granddaughter, is big into volleyball. She's excited and loves to play. And it's exciting to her. And you want to win. You want to be successful. Sports, preacher, you want to go out, you want to get a deer. We want to drag something home. Well, we want to see success. So maybe this is your year to start something. What is it that you don't do that you could do? What is it that you don't do that you should do? What is it that you don't do that would produce fruit in your life in a positive way? Maybe you could start reading your Bible. I can tell you the day that I decided I was done. I'm probably the worst reader in the world. I don't like to read. Don't enjoy reading. Give me a book. I'll wait for the video to come out. I just don't like reading. I just don't like to read. But I decided one day, if I'm going to do anything for God, I've got to read my Bible. And I picked the day and I picked the time. And I said, right here, this is the day. I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to read my Bible consistently. I read. Now, you can read it. A lot of different ways. I read my Genesis, Revelation. Genesis, Revelation, right through the whole thing. I finished Psalms this morning. And as you sit, I read it through twice a year now. And I keep notes, I keep records. I started January 1st and I ended June 12th, whatever it is, and I did it again, and I read through it. I decided I need to read my Bible. I can tell you it changed my life. Hey, maybe it's time for, how about some daily prayer? It's a funny thing. Seems like we can sit and listen to the Bible or read the Bible, but praying is so hard. I don't know why, because the devil doesn't want us to do it. He wants us to think it's more difficult than it is. You all talk all day. I heard you. You talk constantly. You're teenagers. What you do? How about getting in a room by yourself and talk to the Lord a little while? Oh, the difference it would make. Maybe it's your time to start serving. Maybe this is your year to start serving in church. Maybe you ought to find a place. Maybe you ought to find a position. Maybe you ought to find a job. Well, preacher, there are no jobs. Well, then find one. Find garbage. Listen, there are all kind of rappers in here tonight. I don't know who done threw all that stuff, but you got to pick it up. You know what the average teenager says when would you pick that up? I didn't drop it. Not my trash. But you know what? There's no profitability in that. But if you do that which is not your garbage, you're a profitable servant. Maybe you ought to find maybe a faithfulness in your home. Maybe an attitude. Maybe you start having an attitude of respect and love for your parents. Maybe you ought to shock your folks and make your bed or wash a dish. Maybe this is your year to start speaking and acting like a Christian. Quit the stuff that you say behind closed doors or behind the fence or where nobody's looking and only your friends are listening and everybody's chuckling at something that's off color or wicked or ungodly. Maybe it's our time to stop being worldly. You know, I can't prove this. I just, in my weird imagination, I see this tree standing in the middle of this fake tree thinking, I don't want to produce figs. I want to produce grapes. So it does nothing. Because it wants to be like the world around it. Number two, maybe this is your year to stop some things. I mean, it couldn't be any simpler. Everyone in this room has a sin that easily besets them. The Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about something that it just seems like it grabs and controls us and we can't win. I promise you we can. But you have to decide today, pick the day, this is your year to stop some things. Now you fill in the blank. I'm not going to throw all the sins out there tonight. But maybe we ought to stop giving in to sin so easily. We better stop being so selfish. Lord, have mercy, what a selfish generation. Maybe we need to stop the pride and the arrogance that causes strife in our home with our siblings. Probably shouldn't say this, but I will. I sang, and we had a funeral this morning, 105-year-old lady passed away. And I had her funeral this morning. And she knew the Lord. She was a delightful little old lady, and it was time for her to go home. One of my college-age girls sang, and it just blew the doors off. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song she sang. She sang How Great Thou Art. But people say, oh, wow, what a good job she did. You know, it wasn't that long ago her younger sister was my accompanist. And she did all the singing. You know, those two girls, you can't put them in a room together without having a towel to wipe up the blood. They just can't get along. How hard are you to get along with? Maybe it's time to stop being difficult, selfish. Stop the pride. Stop pretending that you're really saved or that you're really right or that you're really spiritual. Number three, and I'm done. Maybe this is your year to finish some things. This world is looking for people who are willing to decide to do something and to finish the job. What is it that you've decided? You know, I started that, but it got hard. I started doing this. I started reading my Bible, but I just didn't like it. I started praying, but it just didn't seem to be my thing. It's not your thing because you're not the grape. You're the fig tree. Finish the work we started. Hey, how about keeping the promise you made at an altar? And watch this. I dare say a large percentage of this auditorium, you've walked an aisle, you've come to an altar, you've made a promise. Large percentage. And many of those, you've gone back and said, I'm going to keep that promise until I get on the bus. How about you go back and revisit that promise and finish it? How about we finish the response to God's call? There are young people in this room. God's called you to service. God's called you to preach. God called you to teach. God called you to serve. God called you to marry a preacher. God called you to be a preacher. God called you to be a missionary. What's your response? You know, I lost 2 years of my ministry because I decided not to follow when God called. Maybe God's knocked on your door. Maybe God's called you in the night. Maybe not with an audible voice. Don't be ridiculous, but I want you to think. Maybe you've heard that still small voice in your heart. He said, I'd like to use you. I'd like to have you. I'd like you to produce some fruit. Youth pastors, youth directors, leaders. Have you made promises to God that you're not keeping? Maybe it's time we finish some things in our life. It's the year. What are you going to do with it? Stand, please, with me tonight. And as you stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment. Maybe it's the time you started a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't know in your heart if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Maybe you don't have a confidence that you've been saved. Maybe there's three types of folks. Folks that you know you're saved, you know when it happened, how it happened, what happened, and you know you're saved, you're good to go. But there's someone here, you got saved, you think, but you're really not sure you got it. You're really not sure it worked. You're really not sure that you did it right, or you're really not sure. And you're doubting it, and you're fighting the doubts of your salvation. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you're doubting it. And it keeps you from being usable. Then there's folks that just need to be saved tonight. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean very simply this. There's a promise in the Bible that tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And salvation gives us heaven as our home when we die. A little later this morning, waited 115 years to finally see her home in heaven. But I've seen many more, many younger, go out into eternity, many not sure. If you do not know in your heart if he died today, would you let somebody take this old Bible and show you how you can be sure? See, the Bible says these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, a confidence. Slip your hand up. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you. I won't chase you down. I won't call anybody. I'll pray for you. Would you let me pray for you? Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure tonight. Anybody? Be honest with God. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you take these young people. Lord, they've got years and years and years of life ahead of them. They've got hopes and dreams. They've got plans. They've got families to raise. They've got maybe ministries to attend to. Maybe they're looking to do something else. But Father, whatever their calling, whatever they need, whatever the plan is, help them tonight to grasp the simple truth that you're watching. And you're expecting them to produce what they've been called to do. Bless these young people tonight. Work in their hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe God called you something tonight. Maybe you just need to tell God, I'm going to start this tonight. And she begins to play quietly. Find a place. Get alone with God for a minute. Maybe it's a confession. Maybe it's a dedication. Maybe it's something that you need from God. Maybe you're tired of being pressed by God to produce, and it hurts, and it's hard, and you're tired, and you don't like it. You know, always there's grace with that. Always there's purpose with that. Did you make God a promise to start something tonight? Did you make God a promise to stop something tonight? Did you promise to finish something tonight?